Evening, everybody. I call this Wednesday, August 10th, 2022, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Jeff Olson. I'll be presiding over this meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Millen is absent. Olson?
Here.
Vineyard is absent. Williams?
Here.
Horaz?
Here.
And Hyatt?
Rusty, you there?
Here. Yep, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's okay.
I'm gonna mute myself.
No, that's okay. Sometimes I wish I could mute myself here. Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, July 13th, 2022?
Nope.
Rusty, Deb, anything?
No.
All right, then I may have a motion, please, to approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, July 13th, 2022, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Horaz?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
Thank All right, you. Minutes are approved. We have a lot of people here today. Are there any comments from anyone in the audience tonight that pertain to something not on the agenda? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, seeing as there are none, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the public hearing. There are two public hearings scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing tonight is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before this commission tonight. Public testimony may be from persons present who wish to speak for or against the request or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding the request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name, who you represent, if anybody at all. You're also asked to sign in at the podium if you are going to speak tonight. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, now please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I, state your name.
I,
do solemnly swear.
That
the testimony I will present at this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, so the way we do this is we have an order that we follow. The petitioner will do their presentation, and then we will have those who wish to speak in favor of the request, followed by those who wish to speak in opposition to the request. I run a tight ship. If we're going to have multiple people that are saying the same thing, I ask you to please kindly stay seated. One viewpoint, if somebody says something close, that's good enough. We'll move on. To start, may I have a motion, please, then, to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2022-08, special use permit authorization, rezoning approval, and sign variance, and also PZC 2022-17, temporary storage container variance approval request.
So moved.
Okay.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Horaz?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
And Olson?
Yes. All right. Public hearings up for discussion tonight are PZC 2022-08, Thomas Williamson, on behalf of Graham C-Stores Company, petitioner, is seeking special use permit authorization, rezoning approval, and a variance to the sign regulations to develop a gasoline service station and with accessory convenience store. The real property is located on 5.5 acres and is located at the northeast corner of 47 and 71 intersection. The second item we have up for public hearing tonight is David Courtwright, attorney on behalf of, boy, look, a bunch of Roman numeral looking thing here, CIGTSP LLC, GIGTSPAP, LLC, CIGTSP CFP, LLC, CIGTSP KNSM, 2 LLC petitioners, is seeking variance approval to permit permanent accessory structures closer to the public way than the principal building on a lot and to permit expansion for a non-conforming use. The real property is located at 1602 North Bridge Street on the east side of Bridge Street and north of Veterans Property, which this is also then south of Dunkin' Donuts. The petitioner is seeking to keep their temporary storage containers currently located on the property as permitted through a temporary building permit. All right, so for PZC 2022, the BP gas station, is the petitioner present and ready to present?
Yes, we are.
Come on up. Yep, if you wouldn't mind. When you get up there, if you could state your name, who you are, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Name is Thomas Williamson. I'm the GM for Graham Seasource Company. And I'd like to thank you for the time tonight to speak. And committee members, we a little bit about Graham Seasource. We're a third generation family owned company. We own and operate 26 gas stations and convenience stores in the surrounding Collier County around Chicago. We are blessed enough to be in the village now. We have one on Bridge Street in 47, and we've been there since 2013. Took it over from prior owner, and we've enjoyed being in the city. And as we kind of plot our areas and stuff, the other corner kind of fits our requirements of what we like to look for and the traffic flow and stuff. So we're looking for the 47 and Stagecoach Road. So we've kind of put together a little packet, and we appreciate you guys giving us the time to present. I know David put together a lot of stuff for us, so yeah, that's basically our kind of our background a little bit, and we're looking forward to possibly continuing the growth.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Any questions for me?
Not yet, I don't think. Okay. Thank you, though. I don't want to speak for you, Devin. Rusty, do you have any questions so far? We'll probably ask questions during the later period.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Where are we at?
So there are standards for us to grant these different variances, et cetera, et cetera. Typically, we ask you as the property owner, if you want them entered into the record, we suggest that you do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Did anyone else want to speak about this from the Graham team, or we? Okay. All right. Then, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of these requests? And there's multiple requests. There's. I'll fill in some blanks. We're doing a. There are four things we're going to vote on for this. There's the rezoning. Right now it is M1. It was that, I think it was FS or F, yeah, FS. It was the natural gas company for farmers forever. They're changing it from M1 to a B3, so that's the first thing we'll vote on. The second one is the special use, which, let's see here. Yeah, which Christy just whispered in my ear is required for a fuel and gas service station. The third is the sign variance, which we will talk about later. And the fourth is, well, that is just the three. The final plat for it?
Okay. But that does not require a public hearing.
Okay, so that'll be outside the public hearing portion. Okay, is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of these requests for this BP site? Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition of these requests for the BP site? Okay, seeing as there are none, do we have any questions right now from commissioners for petitioner? I'm gonna guess no. All right, then we will move on. Do we have the petitioner present for PZC 2022-17 storage unit variance approval? Go ahead, sir. And again, if you could let us know your name, I'd appreciate it.
Good evening. My name is David Courtright. On behalf of the list of letters you would be given, we're going to say the owners of real property located at 1602 North Bridge Street.
Very good.
Excuse me. We are seeking a variance, the subject variance, for a few reasons. Okay, first of all, I think it's notable. We're dealing with a unique lot here. Okay, we have three existing principal primary buildings on that lot on the east side. That would render as legally non-conforming use, because remember, this business has gone back a long time, pre-existing the current ordinance. If we were to not be granted a variance, we would essentially not be able to use for accessory structures anything closer to Illinois, roughly 7th, constitutes the entire remainder of the lot. okay? And again, this lot is oriented to the north. We don't have any access on and off, like a typical when the ordinance was contemplated. Flagship lots were discouraged. The ordinance is intended to harbor rectangular lots with frontage access on and off of Illinois Route 47. That's not the case with us. We don't have any access on and off the street. We share an access easement with Aldi in order to get into our parcel from the north. So everything's really oriented to the north, which obviously it makes this this parcel a little bit different than the average, the standard. Secondly, we operate as a self-storage business, okay? This business, like any business, has incurred changes over the last 10, 20 years. And we're a self-storage business may have typically been able to operate viably with the number of units that we've had in the past. That's not the case today. The industry has changed, and as you can see by comparing us to the other self-storage businesses in the area, we have the smallest parcel in addition to the smallest number of units. We're trying to adapt. We're trying to change with the industry. We're trying to stay viable, to continue as a business. And if we can't grow, we die, right? I mean, ultimately, I suppose that would result in a vacant lot for some period of time, as opposed to what we are proposing. We understand with staff recommendation that if the variance were to be granted, it would be done so on the condition that my client erect a fence and landscaping to beautify that stretch. Look, we all know that the objective of the ordinance, the objective of what we're trying to do, is have sightly frontage on Illinois Route 47. We are pre-existing legal non-conforming use. We are oriented to the north. We're a little bit out of sorts to apply that ordinance to. However, what we're proposing, and everybody should have a handout in front of them, with a landscaping plan and a fence plan. I apologize that was not included in the packet because we submitted it just this week,
okay.
Not early enough to be. However, that's $60,000 in beautification work to this lot, specifically the frontage on Illinois Route 47. We want to be a good business. We want to continue serving a need. We are rented out. We have all of our units occupied right now. And we want to continue to serve that need. We want to improve the frontage of Illinois Route 47. We have a fence plan and a landscaping plan in which we can substitute on certain sides a fence for landscaping based on what might be more attractive and preferential to the city. But again, at the end of the day, we're asking for a way to move forward. We're asking the city for understanding, given the nature of this parcel, the flag shape, the orientation of the north, and the ability to make this a beautiful spot and continue to do our business, which there's a need for in the city. And with that, I'll rest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any questions, Deb, Rusty, right now, Danny?
I don't have any at this time.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone in the public here that wants to speak in favor of the request? Is there anyone who wants to speak in opposition to the request? Okay, seeing as there are none, we will move on. Also, do you want your responses to those questions added into the record? We suggest
yes,
that you do. Thank you. All right. Since all public testimony regarding these petitions has been taken, may I please have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Jaurez?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Public hearing portion of the meeting is closed. We will go on to new business. Christy, Jason, which one are you
going to do?
Okay, would you please present then on PZC 2022-08 special use permit, rezoning approval, sign variance.
Okay, so as you heard from Thomas Williamson of Grand C Store, they are locating their second fuel station in the city at the northeast corner of 47 and Route 71. So the petitioner has asked for three requests as part of the public hearing process and a separate request for final plat. I'll start with the rezoning. As we mentioned, the current zoning is M1. This site is made up of two parcels at this moment, totaling 5.5 acres. They are proposing to rezone the property to a B3 general business district for a gas station, which is consistent with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan identifies this site for destination commercial, which is relevant to land uses that have a medium scale auto oriented type land use, which is what a gas station or fuel station is. So staff is supportive of the rezoning request as it is consistent with our future land use plan of the 2016 comprehensive plan. The second request is for a special use. As mentioned earlier, a special use is required for all fuel stations so that the city has an opportunity to review on a case-by-case basis the layout, the traffic, and any impact this type of use would have on the environment or to adjacent land uses. So the way that the site is situated, you have the fuel station closest to Route 71, and it will have a diesel station for trucks as well as vehicle fueling pumps closer to 47. They are subdividing the parcel to have a separate lot for the detention basin as well as a separate future land use which would be consistent with what would be allowed in the commercial district. Right now on the site plan, they're focusing on the fuel station. They have met all of the setback requirements for the proposed B3 zoning district. Parking lot setbacks are consistent. Appearance code is consistent. There's an elevation of the building in your packet, which shows pretty much a brick and ephes type of masonry product on the elevation. The site plan also calls for comments from staff that deal with ingress and egress for the vehicles. One specific request that we've asked for the petitioner that they have agreed to was that they would put signage on the 71 side asking not to block the intersection and possibly work with IDOT to strike that section of the access point of the drive aisle. When we moved towards the request for a sign variance, the petitioner had originally requested a sign that was 30 feet in height. Staff did some comparisons of other gas stations within the either immediate area or recently approved. So we had the Gas and Wash that was approved in 2019, which is on the north side of town near the water park. That sign height was 12 feet and 107 square feet. Now the maximum height in this district is 12 feet and a maximum sign area of 64 square feet. So the gas and wash sign only exceeded when it came to the area of a sign. Casey's was less than the maximum height and less than, I think they were, their particular site was smaller, so they had a smaller sign area. And then Circle K, which is right across from this particular, or kitty corner from this particular site, has a 20, almost 21 foot height sign and 129 square foot sign area. So the petitioner is asking for a lot. We did negotiate down to 25 feet in height and 168 square feet in sign area. We did receive feedback from Kendall County Highway, just north of this parcel, stating that the height of the sign was excessive and should be consistent with what's already within the area. But in material-wise, the petitioner sign base is consistent with material. They are proposing to have logo for the BP and the Graham identification, as well as a digital component for all of the fuel pumping stations. So staff is still open to discussion on the height right now. We can support, due to the volume of traffic and the location of the site, the request, but we are still open to a smaller area for the sign. If you'd like, I can do the final plat as well, since
sure.
you're here.
Yep.
The final plat is has been reviewed by the city engineer. We are supportive of approval. There are conditions that were established in staff's memo, so we are requesting that review comments provided by EI in a memorandum dated July 14th be a condition of the special use, as well as feedback from the Economic Development Committee that stated if we are to grant the sign height and sign size variance, that there be a maximum of one monument sign for this parcel.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So, Rusty, Deb, Danny, we have four things to vote on this specific item. So I suggest we break them down one at a time. So let's first talk about the rezoning. How about? So they want to take it from manufacturing to B3. Before we get into items here, let's talk about the standards for granting a rezoning. All right. Section 10-4-10-B of City Zoning Ordinance establishes criteria for finding a fact related to rezoning requests. When the purpose and effect is to change zoning of a property and amend the city zoning map, the Planning Commission shall consider each of the following facts before rendering a decision. So let's read these out loud. The existing uses and zoning of nearby property. I think that is okay for where this is going. The extent to which the property values are diminished by the particular zoning restrictions, not applicable. The extent to which the destruction of property values of plaintiff promote the health, safety, morale, or greater welfare of the public, not applicable. The relative gain to the public is compared to the hardship imposed upon the individual property owner, also not applicable. The suitability of this subject property for the zoning purpose, yes, absolutely. The length of time the property has been vacant as zoned, considered in the context of land development in the area and in the vicinity of the subject property, I don't think it matters for this. The community need for the proposed use, yes, we could always use another gas station. The care to which the community has undertaken to plan its land use development, which we have. In my opinion, and I am interested in your opinions, I have no problem with rezoning whatsoever. I think that's fine. It makes sense for the property. Deb, Rusty, do you have anything to add to that or question?
No, I'm good with it.
Okay.
I like the plan. It's good. I do have one question, though.
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know if it's on this section, but about the access road that goes over to the light, who maintains that?
Access road to the light, who's maintaining that?
Off of 71?
Mm-hmm.
David Schultz, HR Green engineer.
Deb, Rusty, can you hear Dave?
Yep.
Okay.
So there's two full accesses. One is off 47 and one is off 71. So the petitioner will maintain the access, the private portion of it, and then IDOT has the jurisdiction over the other two.
Did you hear that, Deb?
Not. Are they maintaining it? I didn't hear quite all of it.
Would you repeat that a little louder so she can
hear
you?
So, Deb, there is two full access points for this property, one off of 47 and one off of Stagecoach 71. Both of those are jurisdictions of IDOT. So IDOT does maintain and operate those two roads. So the petitioner, they have their two full accesses, so they maintain their own access on their property.
I was actually asking about the road that goes in bed and around to the light.
Okay, that is all private.
That's what?
It's private.
So the developer will maintain that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, the second item we need to talk about is the special use permit authorization. So akin to what we just did, the city has recommendations that we need to read. The first is, if we were to grant a special use, the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental or endanger the public safety, morale, or comfort, or general welfare, which I agree with. The special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of the property in the immediate vicinity of for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair property values within the neighborhood, which it will not. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improve the surrounding property for uses permitted in the district. I believe it will. Adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided, which they are. Adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress and egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion in public streets. They are. The special use shall in all other respects conform to the applicable regulations of the district in which it is located, except as such regulations may in each instance be modified by the City Council pursuant to the recommendations by the Plan Commission, which is fine. I also have no problem with the special use authorization. Danny is nodding in agreement. Rusty, Deb, any comment?
No, I'm good with it.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. That moves us to the sign variance. Let me read the standards for granting a variance. This is for the sign that the variance they're asking is to increase its height and its square footage. Because, number one, because of the particular physical surroundings, shape, or topographical condition of a specific property involved, a particular hardship to the owner would result, as distinguished from a mere inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulations were carried out. I do not agree with this. There's nothing particularly interesting about this corner that makes it any different. In fact, it's higher than the surrounding area, and putting a sign on that is going to be artificially 6 to 8 foot taller than it normally would be just by where grade is. Two, the conditions upon which the petition for a variation is based are unique to the property for which the variation is sought and are not applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. I also disagree with that. It's not unique to this property. The alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and is not created by any person presently having interest in the property. It is solely created by any person presently having interest in the property. The granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to other property or improvements in the neighborhood of which the property is located. Maybe, but the elevation of, like, let's say, the barbecue place down 47, what the heck is that, Smokies, is probably 30 foot, 20 foot lower than this, and you can stand down there and we'll look like we're the Wisconsin Dells again with the sign sticking up in the air. The proposed variation will not impair an adequate, an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property, or substantially increase the congestion of public streets, or increase the danger to the public safety, or substantially diminish or impair property values with the neighborhood. I will agree to that. The proposed variation is consistent with the official comprehensive plan and other development standards and policies of the city. Maybe. I personally do not like 20-foot signs, 25-foot signs. We have not, since 2017, when most of us came onto this commission, approved that great of a sign variance. We have approved minor square footages where it made sense to aid the property owner, but this is a massive variance request, and I am not behind it. I don't think they need to be limited to one monument sign. It makes sense to have one on 47 and one on 71, but these gas stations in and of themselves are advertisement. There's going to be logo advertisement on the side of the canopy. There's going to be logo advertisement on the exterior walls. The entire thing is an advertisement. I don't think we're going to be lacking of any square footage. It should stay on those. Deb, Rusty, do you have an opinion on this?
I totally agree with Jeff. He's right on the way I feel about it. This way is too big, too tall.
Rusty?
I agree with Jeff. There's going to be plenty of signage around the building and the two corners grand signage. Like you stated, we don't need it to look like, you know,
the Dells.
The Dells or something. So I agree with Jeff.
Danny, any comment?
Total agreement.
Okay. All right. Since we are in agreement on this, when we come to read these motions, the one motion for the special use has comment in there that we're going to allow them a maximum of just one monument sign. I don't think that's necessary, correct? We want to allow them to have two monument signs, one on each side.
The petitioner's proposing only one sign.
I don't know how would we do this? If we allowed the one sign and the special use to get the special use through, or can we modify that?
You can modify it and just leave that portion off of your approval request.
And then they can go in with the, if they want to do another sign variance request for a different sign or whatever.
Or just the regular permit, yeah.
Okay, 10-4. All right, the final plat portion of that, I don't think I have anything to read. I think we are just approving that final plat, which I had no concern with other than the gigantic sign. Did anyone else have any comment on the final plat? Deb, Rusty? Danny?
No, Jeff.
Okay. All right, then while these are fresh in my mind, I would like to vote on these now. May I please have a motion to approve PZC 2022-08 rezoning approval?
So moved.
Second.
And this is rezoning only. Who's going to second? Who seconded it? You need to read it.
I seconded.
Would you mind?
Yep, you got it.
Thank you.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 10th, 2020, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the City Council of a request for a map amendment to rezone the property located at 107 East Stagecoach Trail from M1 Limited Manufacturing District to B3 General Business District.
Thank you. May I have a roll call vote on that motion, please?
Yes. Horaz?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Okay, that one is approved. The second we're going to vote on is the special use permit authorization. May I have a motion then, please, to approve petition PZC 2022-08 special use permit authorization?
So moved.
Deb, Rusty, can you second?
Second, but I can't read it because I don't have it in front of me.
Danny will read it for you. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Are we taking out the portion of this that says
yes, sir.
A maximum of one?
Yes, sir. We'll just leave that off the end.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 10th, 2022, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for special use authorization for a fuel/gasoline service station with a convenience store to be located at 107 East Stagecoach Trail, subject to engineering review comments provided by the city's consultant EEI Inc. in a letter dated July 14th, 2022.
Thank you, sir. May we please have a roll call vote on that motion?
Yes. Hyatt?
Yes.
Hi. Thank you. Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Horaz?
Yes.
That motion is approved. Thank you. The third one we're going to vote on then is the sign variance. So I may have a motion, please, to approve petition PZC 2022-08 sign variance.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Danny. Would you mind?
Yep. In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 10th, 2022, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of a request to vary the sign regulations contained in Section 10-20-9-A of the United City Yorkville Zoning Ordinance to permit a freestanding monument sign in a business district that is 168 square feet in sign area and 25 feet in height, as depicted in a sign plan prepared by Image FX Corp and dated 5/31/22.
All right. May I have a roll call vote on that motion, please?
Yes. Horaz?
No.
Hyatt?
No.
Olson?
No.
And Williams?
No.
All right. That motion fails.
Quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any recommendations of a maximum height for the petitioner? Because as it stands now, the petitioner would need a supermajority from the City Council to get this sign approved.
Something with closer to multiple signs.
Could I chime in?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, because I was looking at this a little bit earlier, and I was looking at the Shell station across the street. Mm-hmm. I had initially thought that was actually smaller than what you had said, because you said that's about 20 feet for that Shell.
Yeah, one of the signs that was approved was 20 and a half, and I believe the other one was 18.
Okay, the 18 mm-hmm. was the one I had seen, because mm-hmm. I thought they had two as mm-hmm. well. So that's kind of what I was thinking as well. Not only are they on a hill for that, but if they are at least matching their competitor across the street, that seems fair to me.
We've approved larger signs only when they're used as anchor signs to bring cars and customers off of main streets to something that's buried off the road. In this case, it's not. It's just a gigantic flag up in the air to say here it's unnecessary. So I would not tell them that X amount of feet is okay or acceptable. I would say put something that is within code and go from there. All right. Final one is, may I have a motion? This is for the final plat. May I have a motion, please, to approve the petition PZC 2022-08 final plat?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Danny.
The Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for a final plat of subdivision of the Graham C subdivision in Yorkville, prepared by H.R. Green, dated last revised July 1st, 2022.
All right, thank you. May I have a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Hyatt?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
And Horaz?
Yes.
Okay, that motion is approved. Moving on, who is doing PZC 2022-14? Would you please present?
Sure. Tonight's petition for Wendat Ridge Unit 2, final plat of subdivision, is being requested by John McFarland on behalf of Cal Atlantic Group. They are seeking to finish out the subdivision, which would include 12 single-family units in this portion of the development on about 6.274 acres. This is a reduction from the originally approved land plan, and the reason why the reduction of the lots of about four lots is due to the fact that they need to accommodate a 55,000 square foot stormwater management easement and a required design and construction of a sanitary sewer lift station as a result of the site's topography. Originally, the development was to build out to the south as part of a overall townhome development, which would have the lift station on that site so that they could build out the originally planned 16 lots. That did not pan out because the development over the course of economic downturn was foreclosed and bought by different parties. So Cal Atlantic is likely to just finish out this portion of the development and move forward with closing out the site. Currently, I believe there are just a few sites left, home sites left on the Wendat Ridge Unit 1, and so they are moving to finish out this development. In your packet, there are designs and cut sheets of the proposed facility for the lift station, which had criteria in a previous ordinance stated that it would have to match the look and the feel of a residential structure, which I believe they have done. In addition to that, the final plat of the subdivision has been reviewed by EI, which is our consultant, engineering consultant. They provided comments, and the petitioner has addressed those comments in a previous review and resubmitted the revised plat. So staff is recommending approval of the plat dated 6/16/22 by the petitioner. I believe John McFarland is available to answer any questions that any of the commissioners may have on this project.
I don't have any. Deb, Rusty, Danny, do you have any questions?
No.
No.
Okay. Seeing as there are none, can we have a motion then, please, to approve PZC, I lost the number, 2022-14 final plat approval?
So moved.
Second.
Danny, would you mind reading it, please?
In consideration of the proposed final plat of subdivision for Wendat Ridge Unit 2, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plat to the City Council as prepared by Mackey Consultants, LLC, date last revised, June 16th, 2022.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please. Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Horaz?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion is approved. All right, next, PZC 2022-16, final plat approval again.
Okay, so this is for Caledonia. If you recall, Caledonia has gone through several ownerships over the years, and several builders have been in that subdivision. This is the final phase of that subdivision, which had two other phases. This portion of the development is consisting of two undeveloped parcels, approximately 22.77 acres, and they're proposing to subdivide this area into 62 lots, consisting of 61 home sites and a almost 38,000 square foot open space. The proposed final plat will complete the build out of the overall master plan subdivision of 206 single family detached residential lots. The developer is again Cal Atlantic. They're looking to move forward with completion of this development. We had comments at a prior plan council meeting, which the developer has addressed. The petitioner has addressed those comments. They provided a revised plat dated 6/13/22, and staff is recommending approval of the plat as presented.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
No.
All right, then may I have a motion, please, to approve petition PZC 2022-16 final plat approval.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, please.
In consideration of the proposed final plat of Caledonia Subdivision Phase 3, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plat to the City Council as prepared by Spaceco, Inc., date as revised 6/13/2022.
All right, thank you. Roll call vote on that motion, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Juarez?
Yes.
And Hyatt?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion is approved. Finally, are you also this one?
No.
Jason? Jason, would you please present your summary on PZC 2022-17 storage container variance?
Yep. Before I start, Rusty and Deb, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I was going to move, but I'll give a quick background on to where we're at with this, a little background on to why they're requesting this variance request. This is a flag lot at 1602 North Bridge. It's just south of the Dunkin' Donuts. Just north of and the Aldi. Originally, these self-storage units were built, it was annexed in the 70s. These were built in the 90s. There was originally an oil change station in the front of that lot where the current temporary storage units are. That burned down and was never replaced in 2006. So this area has been vacant for a bit. The previous owner came to the city and requested to put up these temporary storage units. So what they are is they're mobile. They're not permanently affixed. It's not a permanent building. The request being, you know, hey, we have some increase in demand here. We want to provide some extra storage. We're lacking what other storage facilities have in the area. And then if the demand ever goes down, we can move them to another facility somewhere else in the country where the demand is high. So they were issued a building permit in the spring of 2021 to erect 38 storage units within the buildable area. So per the definition in the code, since this is a flag lot and there's an image showing you the required side and front and rear yards, it makes the buildable area unique. So they proposed to have some of these storage units all within the buildable area. They weren't going to be encroaching into any of the side or front yards. And since it's off 47, there's already 70 feet there that even makes it all the way to the parking lot. So they were issued that building permit. They started laying them down in the fall. At that time, when they were put down, they were incorrect. They were on the lot line. Nothing was paved underneath them. So. You know, no inspection was had, so the city notified them, and we started working through to say, you know, you submitted a plan, it was approved on a temporary basis, let's get this in order and where it's supposed to be. So since then, in the winter, January of this year, they removed some of the excess, and then they put what is
excess or excess?
Excess. They had excess extras that they had removed, and they put them in now that's conforming to the original building permit plan. They actually lost a couple just because they were different sizes than what they thought they were going to be. But with that, on the temporary use standards attached to their building permit, we gave them three conditions of their permit. One, they were allowed for 6 months. Since it's a temporary use. They must maintain the two off-street parking spaces that use is necessary for. And three, after the 6 months, they may either remove the units or they can apply for a variance. The end of last month of July was when it ran out, so they applied for the variance before that, and this is the process coming through right now. So specifically the two variances they're asking for, there are two sections of the zoning ordinance they want relief from. The first being permanent accessory structures may not be closer to the public way than the primary structures. So due to the flag lot These are actually closer to 47, which is the public way. It does not say your drive or anything like that. It's the way the lot is laid out that these are in the front. And that is in there for permanent accessory structures. Very similarly, you don't want pools in the front yard, you don't want sheds in the front yard, things like that. The second one is they want to expand a legally non-conforming or a non-conforming use. The use itself as a personal storage facility was permitted when they were originally built in the 90s. When the city did an update on its zoning ordinance in the early 2000s, they were moved to special uses in only the M1 and M2 districts. So while this business has been operating for quite some time, it is a legally non-conforming use. They are allowed to stay there. They are allowed to continue to run the business as it was originally allowed. But making these temporaries permanent structures is considered expansion. At the time when they were temporary, they were going to be there 6 months. It was okay, we just made it a condition of the permit. Now that they're seeking permanence for longer than their temporary permit, that would be expanding of a non-conforming use. So those would be two requests being made.
So, I don't like the temporary permit versus permanence, because at what point does a temporary become permanence?
So temporary permits are usually up to 6 months by building code. And so what happens is if you have developments that are existing and they're doing remodeling and they need areas to stage for the construction, we have that with On Target, they would need to be able to put temporary structures in that front area of the
job trailer,
yeah,
stores,
exactly.
Every job site.
That's kind of what this fell under.
These are temporary structures, but they're being operated as permanent structures.
Correct.
And I don't necessarily think that giving a permanent variance to something that is temporary is a good thing either, because they don't have the same code requirements as a permanent structure for public safety. Everything. Fire code. I can't even think off the top of my head.
The building code has addressed these types of units. They do meet the building code standards for storage units. The only difference that makes them temporary is permanent. They don't have a foundation.
Right.
Did you?
I was just going to add, because it seemed pertinent. Would you like me to first? Okay.
You're good.
Okay. They are horrible. These turnaxes, these storage units, for a plethora of reasons, have become par for the course in the industry. Not to say that they are temporary in nature. They're movable. You can move them immediately.
I'm in the demolition industry, so I understand portable, because I move permanent structures on the daily. But I think you're operating these as permanent structures, and they might be portable, but because they are portable, then they're not permanent. And so
no,
I don't
no,
know.
No, you can, in agreement. I was only trying to clarify.
Yeah,
we,
I get
we
you.
Are, we are wanting to leave them there on a more permanent basis.
I get you. So there's two things here then. There's the no part of any accessory building or structure should be located closer to 5 feet from any side of rear property line. What do we open ourselves up to if it's just this specific property?
Yes. Exactly.
So if you grant a variance for allowing these two variations, the use would continue. If they wanted to expand later into some other aspect that met all the other standards, they would, because they could expand their non-conforming use for the variance. And also, these would just be allowed to stay indefinitely.
Are we putting you in a trick bag? You too?
No, I would say no. Due to the configuration of the lot, that's what makes them unique, is that it's a flag lot. We do not have a plethora of flag lots that are zoned B3 with storage units on it. So they have a unique case in that sense.
All right.
And
Christy or Jason, if you change these two ordinances now, what happens? Anybody else can do this then?
So we are not changing the
just
ordinance.
For this one, Deb.
It's a variance.
Okay, it's a variance for this one.
You and I have UDO on the mind. It's just this one.
Yeah, it's just a variance for this specific
one. I want to make sure we're not opening
ourselves up. You're right. You're right to ask that. Thank you.
And real quick, just to finish a couple thoughts, and the analysis on the comprehensive plan and where it stands in there. This lot is for destination commercial. This specific use does kind of waver between commercial and industrial. One, because most of our destination commercial should be along 47, should be auto accessible and things like that. It should have higher design, in the comprehensive plan it calls out for higher design and buffering for these types of uses. Whereas in the general industrial, it provides for storage. Obviously it's in the M1 and M2, so that kind of generally goes more for the general industrial. So we did request that, after evaluation, if you guys determine they meet the variation standards and want to approve, that we asked for the buffering, for the landscaping and fencing. And I'm going to share for everyone on Zoom, so you can see the petitioner provided these. Staff has not had an opportunity to review this since we got it this week. We requested that they meet the standards of our transitional buffering in our landscape code. I have not been able to evaluate whether they meet that or not, but at least this is something they're providing. They are providing buffering all the way around, it looks like, and I believe fencing is the rear.
The fence plan is included as well. Okay. Yeah, fencing in the rear, and the fence plan also includes fencing along the east property line. And that would be either or. I don't know how much we can fit within our property, so it would probably be the landscaping or the fencing. And we're open to...
What's on that side? Is there anything there? I can't picture what's there.
That is retention basin for Menards.
I think the concern was keeping any trash that could come from our customers inside our property, and there's a point.
As long as there is a barrier, not necessarily a landscape, but there's a hard barrier that's going to be there, a fence, correct? I personally think it's unnecessary for you to spend the money to do landscaping. If we were to go that route on that easterly north-south line, it should be to the public's benefit, but the fish in the retaining pond or the frogs in the retaining pond don't really care. Something to think about.
I prefer the landscaping than the fencing.
Yeah, but what about garbage? Let's say you have a tenant who doesn't do a good job cleaning out their unit, Dev, right? And they put their, they leave their boxes there, and the boxes have piles of papers like my office, and right, they blow to the wind. And they're all the way in Oswego by the time anybody notices.
And that was what happened, and no. That's why staff has requested that the fence.
So what kind of fencing would you ask of them? Would it be like a PVC or you can't touch
it? I believe it was an 8-foot tall privacy fence.
8-foot cedar privacy fence. It's a beautiful fence.
Did you hear that, Deb?
Yeah. We gotta include the maintenance on that.
Yeah, hey Jason, if you have the PDF pulled up, I'm not sure if you have this whole packet, but in the end, they have an example of the fence.
Yeah.
I think this is just the landscape plan.
Yeah, I see trees. I guess it would be to the south, right? And then the fence would be in the back.
But
they're showing trees back there or something.
Can I bother you, Jason, to say one more time about how seeking permanence with the temporary structure is an expansion? No. Do you remember what?
Yeah, so the two variances. One is in our accessory structures language that states you can't have an accessory structure closer to the public way.
Than the main building, yep.
Right? Typically, like, that would be you can't put a pool in your front yard, you can't, have a shed in front of your house. But it also applies to all commercial and industrial as well. So these would be considered accessory permit structures because they're not putting up a new building with a foundation. These are still portable and movable, so they're accessory. So by making them permanent, they'd be closer to the public way.
Yep.
And the second one is the non-conforming use. So again, it was permitted when it was built. They followed all their regulations. They've been operating. We changed the code to allow them as a special use in the M1, M2. So they are legally non-conforming. You're not allowed to enlarge, or you're allowed to maintain, but you're not allowed to enlarge an existing non-conformity. So typically, you know, if it's a non-conforming structure that says goes into the rear yard or something, you can't go farther into the rear yard. This is with a use, so you can't expand the use more than it's already occupying the land.
Do we need to do two votes, one for each of the variances, or just one?
Yes, you would need two votes.
Then let's read the variation standards then for each in mind, then, please. The first one is whether no part of any accessory building or structure should be located closer to 5 feet from any side or rear property line of the zoning lot. No accessory building or structure should be closer than 10 feet to any main building or closer to the public way than the principal building on any zoning lot. So this is essentially because these temporary structures are closer, than, as Jason had just said, than the main building. All right, so section 10-4-7 identifies six standards that we need to meet. When approving a zoning variation, the petitioner has provided the response to these standards within the application, but I'm going to read them out loud and we can give our two cents. They have to meet these because of the particular, we have to grant them a variance because of the particular physical surrounding, shape, or topographical conditions of the specific property involved. A particular hardship to the owner would result as distinguished from mere inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulation were carried out. I originally, before we showed up here, thought that, well, no, this is just a rectangle, a flat rectangle. There is no particular physical surrounding, shape, or topographic condition, but you're right. It is a flag lot, and it's not their fault the way it's shaped and that the original buildings built back in the 70s are back there. So I am leaning towards that. Waiving that now. Two, the condition upon which the petition for variation is based are unique to the property for which the variation is sought or not applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. Well, we don't have a lot of flag lots. The alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and has not been created by any person presently having an interest in the property. Yeah, I'm gray there. The granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. It is not going to be, in my opinion, detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to any of the neighboring property owners, which would be the Dunkin' Donuts and what is next? The Aldi? And what's south of that? The Arby's? No. Yeah, right?
No. Is it in the... I don't want to say the Legion, but I know it's not the Legion.
No, oh, the Moose. That's on the other side.
Yeah. Moose. And
no, I thought Moose was north.
Jason.
Oh, no, you're right.
Jason and I are rock solid where this is located. So that certainly will not injure them. The proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion on the public streets or increase the danger of the public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. I don't believe it will. The proposed variation is consistent with the official comprehensive plan and other development standards and policies of the city. Yes. I would say that when we're going to read this portion, I want to tie both of these to that landscaping.
Yes.
So I did create one motion for the two requests.
Okay.
And then within that it said, if you guys agree with the things that staff recommended, it says per staff memo. You may also say, and subject to the landscape plan and fence standards provided by the petitioner tonight.
Okay, then what
if you want them to be tied to that.
Then let's read the second one and go over the variation standards again. I don't want to take too much time. And then if we think as a group we are going to vote the same way on both variations, then we will read it with that motion language. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Variation standards for the second one, which is no part of any accessory, or no. This one right here, right?
Non-conforming use.
Thank you. A non-conforming use shall not be extended, expanded, enlarged, or increased in any manner, including but not limited to the following. A non-conforming use that does not involve a structure or which is accessory to a non-conforming use of a structure shall not be expanded or extended to any land area not occupied by such non-conforming use. A non-conforming use shall not be expanded within a structure to any portion of the floor area that was not occupied by such non-conforming use. A use permit in the district in which it is located may expand in a non-conforming structure. If the accessory structures are to remain as currently situated, which I would want them to be, and considered permanent, they will be closer to the public way than 47, and they will expand the existing non-conforming use. Does that make sense? So essentially what we're voting is we're allowing them to continue their non-conforming status. Is that correct, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The variation standards are, because of the particular physical surrounding, shape, or topographical condition of a specific property involved, a particular hardship of the owner will result is distinguished from mere convenience if the strict letter of the regulations were carried out. Well, it is a particular hardship because that entire flag-shaped portion of their property they would not allow to be used. Now, the conditions upon which the petition for a variation is based are unique to the property for which a variation is sought and are not applicable generally to other property within the same area. We've talked about that being a flag lot. The alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and has not been created by any person presently having an interest in the property. I'm going to say that's a gray area again. The granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or interest to other property or improvements in the neighborhood in which the property is located. As no one has come to talk tonight, I don't think anyone is concerned. I'm not. The proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in the public streets or increase the danger to the public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. It will not. The proposed variation is consistent with the official comprehensive plan and other development standards and policies of the city, which I believe it is. Is anyone going to vote two different ways on these two variances?
No.
Rusty?
No, I just have some questions. What's the time frame for permanent structures on this project? I mean, are we going to grant a temporary permit again and have this sit for another year, year and a half, or when it expires? To be honest with you, it looks kind of funky to have all these pods sitting out on the drive-by and you're like wondering what that is.
Yeah.
So variances don't expire.
So this is forever. So essentially what we're giving them, Rusty, is the approval to have those out there and act as temporary permanent structures for forever. We would be, instead of having to come every 6 months and get their temporary permit, we're stop and come before us every 6 months to get that. We would be then eliminating that and they would be allowed to continue their non-conforming use that they were grandfathered in.
I guess that what they could do too is move those things in and out if they wanted to, they're movable.
Well, that's essentially what he was saying. That's essentially what he was saying, Deb. If they had needs elsewhere, let's say Michigan took off, who knows?
Yeah.
There's a disaster, they need storage pods up there, and if they had empty ones, they could just pop them up and send them over to Michigan. I would say that if there's a need for them in Yorkville, long enough as they've been there, there's probably a need for a permanent structure as well, and I've seen plenty of other options in neighboring municipalities where you have two-story ones, so you can fit multiple units in the same space like this, but that's not what they're asking for. They're asking for this non-conforming use to be approved. That is what it is. Rusty, Deb, Danny, anything else?
One of my biggest concerns with this was that Jason and Christy didn't have a chance to go over this landscape plan yet. So I don't want to phrase, if we were to accept both of these, around that landscape plan without at least allowing you two to review it.
We would do it per City of Chicago.
We could do it that way.
You see who I've been dealing with lately? We do it per Yorkville code.
Right, and that's how Jason has it.
Yes.
Because we're not asking.
For the standards in the landscape code, section 812.2C2B, if this code, it meets that at a minimum, or if it goes over, you're welcome to do more.
Right.
Than our requirements.
Okay, perfect.
So no, you don't have to tie this.
All right. Let's read that. Let's include that in the motion then, please. All right. Any more questions? Deb, Rusty, nothing? All right. Then we have a motion, please, then, to approve petition PZC 2022-17 storage container variance.
So moved.
Second.
Danny, will you please read it?
Yep. In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on August 10th, 2022, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to permit accessory structures closer to the public right-of-way than the principal building and to permit the expansion of a non-conforming use for the property located at 1602 North Bridge Street, subject to staff recommendations and a staff memo dated August 3rd, 2022.
which we didn't read.
Right, and we can read those out.
I'm sorry.
They're right above the motion in the
I should have
packet.
Read those.
That's okay.
Those staff memo recommendations are: the placement of the accessory structures must be consistent with the current layout, I'm glad you said that, of units, as illustrated in the submitted site plan dated 6-30-2022. Please do not send any more and put them in the wrong spot. An 8-foot privacy fence must be installed along the rear property line to buffer the land use from adjacent properties. And then 3, a landscape plan must be submitted and approved, which is consistent with the conditions of the landscape ordinance regulations for perimeter parking lot landscaping per section 8-12-2-C-2-B as listed below. When a parking lot is adjacent to a public right-of-way, a landscape buffer shall be provided and shall be the width of the required parking lot setback or 30 feet, whichever is less. The buffer yard shall consist of 1 shade tree, 1 evergreen tree, and 33 shrubs per 100 feet of buffer yard. All right, may I then please have a motion, or no, a roll call vote on the motion, please. We already read it.
Yes. Williams?
Oh.
Yes. Oh, hold on. We're voting on it. I screwed up, Jeff. We're roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Juarez?
No.
Hyatt?
No.
And Olson?
Yes. So we haven't had a 2-2 in a long time. If ever in my 5 years, what do we do at that point?
So because you're a recommending body, I will just forward that
to the city council.
To the city council.
Okay. Split. All right.
First time.
I know. We haven't had that, Deb. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is great. Okay. That's all we have for that portion. I know we do have an additional business item.
Yes, and I just wanted to state on this additional business item, the heading should have been City Council Updates, not that this is an action item for you.
Okay.
So it was just an update that the Bristol Bay units 10 and 12 were approved by City Council at the July 26th City Council meeting.
Great. Okay, anything else for everybody? Otherwise, we're going to adjourn this meeting. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You got something to say?
I came in late. Mr. Comment. Can I address you guys real quick?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Thank you for grabbing
me. I didn't see your hand sticking up. I'm sorry.
I was at a county meeting for the broadband internet and the rest over 7 o'clock.
Go ahead.
Todd Miller, Yorkville. I was here like the first part of the summer, like June. I spoke about the... It was an informational meeting at that time for you guys.
Yep.
It hasn't come back. But I was told that rangers or conservation officers out there at Silver Springs is opposed to the county's change of land use out there along the route. And I wanted to share that with you. So if and when this does come back to you guys to decide on and pass a recommendation on to the city council, for a change to our land use plan for the city of Yorkville, that you invite those conservation officers to come. I think they will come and give you some input. The county never asked them. They never asked for their input. They never invited them. They just did. So I was told that, and so I wanted to, that's why I came to the meeting tonight. I wanted to share that with you to make sure that you ask for their input, because I think it's kind of important.
Thank you.
It's a big change, and it's putting something in an area where we have, two county parks and a state park, and it's, that just, to me, it just doesn't fit.
But yep. Thank you, sir.
That's what I want to share with you and make sure that you all try to apply.
Thank you. All right. Seeing as there is nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion, please, to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. All those opposed say no. Meeting adjourned at 8:09.